If God has done something good for you, if God has brought you from someplace far, if God has allowed you to see today when others thought you would not see the day, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
If God has supplied you with food on your table, clothes on your back, and shoes on your feet, let me hear you say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There's nothing or no one that should be able to shout higher than you when it's time to praise the Lord. So put your hands together and say, praise me, the Lord. If God is such a powerful God that has allowed you to come from where you came from, the gas in your cars and the brakes in your vehicles coming down the hill, and allowed you to open your lungs and breathe fresh air, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Nobody should be able to outshout you when it's time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I give you greetings on behalf of our senior pastor who's traveling, and the pastoral staff, the First Lady, and the members of the King Godman Baptist Church. We thank you for coming and worshiping. And it's now time to hear from God. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 25 through 37. I'm going to call my lovely wife, and she's going to assist me today in reading these scriptures. Please welcome Livia as she comes.
Good morning, church. Please excuse me from not reading from a Bible because I can't see close. So I'll be reading from the board, from the monitor. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teach, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" They gone back to another. So he answered and he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed having, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Olivia. Give her a hand. Amen. Amen. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, this time we give you thanks. We give you praise, for God, you are God all by yourself. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are amongst the land of the living. We thank you, God, now we come to hear from you. I pray, O God, that every distraction, every evil spoken word, every person that is whispering the negative things be put under our feet right now, that we may hear from you. I pray, oh God, that the church does not see me, but they see you through me. I pray, oh God, that you reveal what you need to reveal through us. And may at the end of this message, oh God, you get the glory, all honor, and all praise. We thank you, we praise you, and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we say, amen. I want to lift up the message today. Before you see, I want to lift up a message today that helps us to understand. Everybody seated. Before we sit down. I didn't sit this, I didn't say, sorry. Before we sit down, I want us to grasp something. We all come to church Sundays after Sundays, and we say that we love God. And we help others along the way. But the question I have for us today is, who qualifies our good? Who qualifies what we do is for the right reason? So as you take your seats, I want you to turn to your neighbors and say, who qualifies our good? Turn to your neighbors on your left and on your right. Who qualifies or good? Y'all may be seated. It may sound an off-the-wall type of question. And maybe it is. Because a lot of times we say things and we do things, but not for the right reason. We just heard about the Good Samaritan, and later on we'll hear also about the prodigal son. These individuals that I'm going to be speaking of today is going to bring to us an understanding of who qualifies what we do as right and as wrong. I'm sure at times all of us who drive on the way to work or to church or to wherever, we may have passed somebody along the way. And a lot of times, we could have justifications. I'm late for work. I have to go to the hairdresser, ladies. I have to go to play some games, men. I have to do this and I have to do that. But along the way, have you ever taken into consideration? It could be that somebody is there for you to stop in what you're doing and help them. The Bible speaks about this, the Good Samaritan. And we have just read about the priest walking and the Levite walking. But before that, it speaks of the man who was injured as he was going down a road. While he was going down the road, some thieves came and beat the boy up, beat the man up, and took away his money and stripped him of his clothes and left him for dead. Now we come to church Sunday after Sunday and we say that we're doing this and we're doing that for God, but is it for the right reason? It so happened that while this man has been injured and on the side of the road, a priest passed by. A priest who should have the heart and soul and the panting of God in his heart for people. And he's on his way down the same road as this individual who's injured. The man is in need of clothing. And he's in need of bandaging up because he's all abused. But the priest passed on the other side. It so happened also that while he was there injured, a Levite passed by, saw the injured man, and instead of him showing God-like symptoms and God-like compassion, he walked on by on the other side as well. And all the time, both of them maybe had, they were going probably to church. They may have been going someplace different. But there was an injured person there where they should be showing God to that man. They passed on by. A lot of times when we go to work and we go to church and we go to or wherever we go and we see people in need, and they're right there and they need a dollar to help pay for something for their child. And then, bless you, I'll pray for you. And a lot of times when we're supposed to be showing God's compassion, we pass on by. Or a country is in need of people of compassion. But I'm sorry to say, church, we have been failing in that capacity. We don't show love as we should show love. We don't show forgiveness as we should show forgiveness. We don't deal with each other as we should. Our theme for the month is, God needs you. A few good men. And as I set up my foundation, I'm building something here. The man is injured. Has any of you had a pain that you couldn't control? And you come to somebody for help? Somebody that you thought would be there for you, and all they talk about is God loves you and God is going to bless you, and all you need them to, can you take me to, I can't go right now, but God loves you. And we're talking about compassion. We're talking about love. Well, let's start this up a little bit. The Samaritan man, let me give you a little history. The Samaritan man was not a friendly person. Hallelujah. The Samaritan man was a self-centered man who kept to himself. Who never wanted to be bothered by no one. And here came two men of God who should know who God was, who should know who God is, and passed them by.
took a man who wanted nothing to do with anybody else to show compassion. I'm questioning us today as I bring this up. How is it that we say we love God and we have God in our heart, but we're so mean to each other? How is it that we say we love God? God has done so much for us, and yet we pick and choose whom we will help. Who qualifies our good? This stranger went to the man, picked him up, put him on his own animal, took him to an inn. While he was there, he went to the innkeeper and he said, "Now here's two denaro. This is for him while he's here. I have to leave. But while he's here, this is going to cover his expenses. If he needs anything else, God." A stranger who hates to be around other people is now saying to somebody in need, whatever he needs, I'm going to help him. Now, understand, a denaro is about, it lasts for about 24 days. So he's covered for 24 days per one. For two is 48. A stranger who doesn't know God, hallelujah, but God can use him to help out a man in need. But people could come to church and they come and they come and ask you for help. And all we talk about is we know God, but yet we don't help people when they're in need. But yet we want to come to church and sing songs of glory. But yet when we go out of church, it's a different testimony. Tell me, who qualifies or good? This man is injured. He took his own oil to soothe his pain. He poured the wine to disinfect his wounds. A man who knew no compassion. A man who didn't care about being around other folk. A man who didn't want to be around, sitting around anybody else. He was just to himself. A man who didn't know God, that God could still use to help someone. Then we talk about the prodigal son. That's Luke 15, 11 to 32. We know about the prodigal son, how he went to his father and he said, "Give me what is mine and I'll leave, and I want my part of the estate, and give me what is mine and I'll leave, and give me what is mine and I'll leave," and he left. His father gave him all what he had. Now understand, back in the day, it wasn't a younger man to receive, Minister Molyneux. It was the older one. So what the father was doing was what he felt best for his son. Now it was that the younger man has gotten what he was supposed to get and he left the house. The older brother never paid attention that he was gone. But the older brother was glad that he was gone. So what the younger brother was supposed to get even extra, I know I'm going to get. So he's not going to even worry about what the younger brother is doing. But all the time the father was looking out for his son. The father was showing how true it is to love. The father never loved his son less because he left. Church, we have to understand the love of God is different than how we treat people today. If somebody leaves us today, we talk bad about them. We put their name on the street. We talk bad about them. We discard their names. We embarrass them. But yet when God knows when you're about to leave his church, he still shows you love. Who qualifies your love? Now, here we go. The young man now has spent all that he had. And he went to feed swine. And the very pig food now looked good to him. A man who was decked out in robes, in rings, and expensive garments is now looking at hog food and saying it looks good to eat. God knows how to get our attention, church. But the focus is not on the prodigal son. The focus is on the father. That a ways off, while the father sat on the porch, the young man came a-walking. Picture, if you will, a young man walking home, embarrassed, hungry, dirty, filthy, tired, and he just wants to be forgiven. His father now sees him and runs to him. A father, the father didn't even remind him of what he did. Good God. He didn't remind him, you little piece of tail, went through the door, you should have never gone any, and then he showed him love. God. He didn't remind him how he took his money and spent it on all sorts of different people. He didn't remind him how he took the money and wasted it and embarrassed his family. He didn't tell him anything about how he took the money and wasted his jewelry. He didn't remind him anything of what he did in the past. He ran to him. Hallelujah. His son ran to him and said, Daddy, hallelujah, I messed up. I embarrassed the family. I spent all my money. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Hallelujah. Even if you hire me as one of your servants, Daddy, I want to come home. God. I don't care if I'm a god and a dad. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to come home. I'm sorry. The father didn't even want to hear about him being a servant. He ran to his son and hugged him and kissed him. My son that was dead is now, it was lost, is now found. My son that was dead is now alive. Praise be to God. He showed him a compassion that a lot of us are lacking today. And I bring 3 points to you as before I take my seat. Number one, between the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, they have 3 things in common. Number one, they showed real compassion. Real compassion. If the truth be told, so many times people have done us so much things wrong, and all we do is remind them of what they have done, remind them of who they were, remind them of who you are, like it's so important, and not once reminding them of who God is. The men showed real compassion. Now, if the truth be told, parents, especially us men, if our son had to walk out and leave the home, and we hear about him doing all sorts of nonsense and stuff, And he comes and he asks, what will we do? Men, don't answer. Think about it. What will we do? If your child went out and done many different things and he came home asking forgiveness, what would you do? And now I bring it to the church. If somebody has done wrong and left the church and they've done wrong and they come back and ask forgiveness, how would you respond to them when they come to the door saying, I'm sorry, I messed up, please forgive me. Even if you hire me as somebody else, I want to come back to you. What is your response, church? A few good men. Good men that I can call on when I need them, not to expose my body. Good men, not to waste my money. Good men who looks out for my family. Good men who knows my hurts and don't expose me for nothing. Good men who knows where I came from and is supporting me back where I was. Good men who would help my daughter and show her the way to school when I'm not around. Good man to look out for my wife and not try to get some from her. Good man. The Lord is waiting on good men. Hallelujah. We come to church and we look all good when we dress down and we deck down, but the Lord is looking for good men. He had to take a Samaritan man who didn't care about people. When his own men walked on by. Few good men. Who have God as their pulse in their heart. God as their living being. God is the beginning. God is the end. Good men. We come and we say this. And say that. We look good in church, but how do we do at home? Oh. That ain't my job. That's a woman job. I ain't washing no dishes. I ain't clean no. I ain't sweep no floor. Think she is. I's the man of house, my son. I's the kingpin. Boy. Who she think she is? I bring the cheese. I bring the... the cheddar, I bring in the cabbage, I bring in all the bush. Who she thinks she is? But yet we want to come to church and say hallelujah anyhow. That's if you come to church at all. Don't get upset with me. It's the word of God. They showed real compassion. Number two, I mentioned it before. They never once questioned the man of his past, the men of their past. The father went to the son and said, hey, boss, where you could spend so much money on one woman? Where you could spend money on 10 cow? Where the money? He didn't do anything of that nature. He showed him love. Do we understand what love is? Do we understand how it is to really be in love? Or we just say the word, but don't understand the meaning. God loves you. Even while we were yet sinners, God sent his son for you. That's love. God, how many times should I forgive a man who wronged me? He gave him a number just for a day, 70 times 7. Now we even can't take somebody whispering something wrong to us. A few good men. God is looking for you and me too. I can't say that, I can't come up here and say how much I love God and I can't treat my wife right. Taking her money and gambling and buying all sorts of stuff without her knowing. The saddest part of it is we could go out and teach and treat other women nice. But when it comes home to our own wife and children, we don't know how to say I love you. We don't know how to say, please forgive me. We don't know how to do the right things. But when we go out in public, we like to act the part. Who qualifies your good? It's so sad when people come and ask for help. The first thing you want to know is, how'd that happen? Ain't on your business. I came to you for help. All I asked is for $10 to help me pay you back. When you ask, you all up my... And the thing is, we say that we're justifying this. We can't justify that. That's been, as what we will say today, First Lady, we've been mete. We're not being God-like. We're not being Christ-like. We're being mete. Can I say that? Okay, we're being inquisitive. We're being very, you know, want to get in our people's business and stuff too fast. Imagine a stranger who hates to be around people would take an injured man, put on his own animal, spend his own money in an inn where he himself isn't staying. And whatever he needs, I will pay. A few good men. I know this may not be a whooping and what have you. It's a sobering question because it really hit me as well. And finally it says, my last question to you is, the men, the father and the good Samaritan, they were ready to forgive and move on. We have a problem with forgiveness. We like to forgive, but remind folk, I forgive you, you know. But don't forget why I buy for you. Don't forget where I take you. Don't forget I take you for lunch. And then we want to justify and say, in the name of Jesus, who qualifies or good? The father ran from his house to meet his son, hugged him, loved him, kissed him, forgave him, brought him home, a fatted calf killed, big old feast, robe on his back, ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, restored him. But his brother, who was there, came and questioned, what's going on? Which one of these is us? We may say we love God. Yes, we all say we love God. But how do we treat each other? When we're in want, when we're in need, when we're suffering, when we're going through ordeals, and you know about it, how do we respond, church, to folk that are in need of compassion? Who is in compassion? Who is in need of forgiveness? I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was incarcerated for something that he did wrong. And while I was speaking to him, I asked him the question, what's going on? And he started to talk about how people in the church are treating him. He said he went to this one church, and a pastor said to him, don't come back. I don't want to catch you. No place on this compound again. How do we respond to people who are in need? How do we How do we treat the ladies, especially the single ladies who need a helping hand? What's in it for me? What's the slang a lot of us use? A lot of people use. A raid for a raid. Now we're laughing, but this is a serious matter because a lot of it comes out of the church. When we are supposed to be the leading examples of what God expects us to be, we are the ones that are doing the wrong. We are the ones not teaching our children right from wrong, but we are the ones preying on our children. I close with this story. There was this young man. He was engaged to this young lady. So they decided to get married. One day, while there, her sister came to his home. And she began playing with him, and, you know, one thing led to another. So now she's in the house, getting comfortable. The man ran outside full speed, unknowing to him, the family of his engaged-to-be wife is outside waiting. He ran outside and everybody started clapping for him. Yeah, he is loyal. He's not going to cheat on his wife. He is who we are looking for this young lady. While they're happy, the man is sad. Why? He didn't run outside because he didn't want to get in anything with her. He was running to his car to get what he needed to get the job done. A lot of us come to church, and we say we come to church to hear from God. Is that our real purpose? Is that our real focus? God knows our intentions. Please, I beg you, please do not, as we stand, do not pretend when it comes to God. I thank God that I have a few good men around me, that I could trust them with my heart, with my family, with my shortcomings. I thank God. The question is, what about you? Is everything all right with you in your life? Are we coming to church to worship God? Are we coming to church to look at other men or other women? Men, a few good men. God is looking for us to stand up and stand out and do better and be who our wives and our women are looking for. People to lead us to the next generation. I don't know who this message is for, but I know for one thing, it speaks to all of us. Who qualifies are good? When you say you're coming to church and you're going to work and you're saying this and you're saying that, are you really talking about God, or are you just trying to catch people? If you need assistance, if you need to talk, if you need to cry, if you need to speak, if you need help, the altar is open. God needs you. God needs me. The altar is open. Come, let's talk right now. Let God receive you. Let God revive you. Let God heal you. Let God set you free. Come now.